Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 42 of Crosshairs Radio. We have another episode of They Don't Do That in Europe, TDDTIE, for you today. It was awesome catching up with Scott Diedenbach and David Pallon. We had a really good time talking about last week's race in Rochester. Also, we went all the way back to the China UCI race that happened the week before, and previewed Trek and Vegas and Jingle Cross as well. Really looking forward to those races, but really great conversation with those guys. It's always good to catch up. Thanks for tuning in. Sponsor-wise, not much going on, except a lot going on. I want to invite all of you to follow along with me on cxhairs.com, also on Instagram at cxhairs. I'm leaving tomorrow morning, heading out to Wisconsin for Trek CXC Cup, then going to Vegas, then going to Jingle Cross. I have some great sponsors on board to help me cover this in full, and I really expect to give you all an inside view and a really in-depth 24/7 look at these two World Cups and also this Trek race, which was almost a de facto World Cup with all of the amazing talent that's showing up. Orange Seal, they're the title sponsor of this. Without them, I wouldn't be able to do this, so thank you to them. Also, thank you to Easton Cycling. Thank you to Verge Sport, SDG Components, Feedback Sports, and also Squid Bikes. Those are all of the companies that have that have a faith in me to be able to bring you this coverage. And I want you to go out and support those companies because they are the ones that are making it possible for us to do this. And I think we're gonna bring some cool stuff to you. I'm going to be shooting video, putting together some video packages pretty much every day. Also, a lot of stuff on the Instagram. I'm going to have a selection of photographers from Bruce Buckley and Brett Rothmeyer and others helping me out so we can get image galleries up there as well. I'm really looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a really cool thing, and I hope that you all follow along. Pledge drive for Wide Angle Podium was amazing. Thank you all that joined up. We have a lot of new members. You all should be getting your swag soon, and I really, really appreciate it. It's made it so it is a near viable entity at this point, and that wouldn't be possible with all of your help. If you have not subscribed yet, would love for you to do so. wideanglepodium.com, go check that out. Also, if you were looking for skills, drills, and belly aches, a cyclocross primer in the last week or so, you would have noticed that it was not available. It's back in stock. Just received a whole new slew of books. So look for those. Also, Svennish shirts. If I have any left after this trip, I'm going to put those up on the website too. So if you've been wanting those have been out of stock for a while. They should be back. If you see me in Wisconsin at Trek or Vegas for Cross Vegas or Iowa for Jingle Cross, please come up, say hi. I got buttons, I got stickers. I should have some shirts for sale if you want those. Go grab that stuff, but also just always good to put a name with a Twitter handle. So I hope to see y'all there. But now let's get on with it with They Don't Do That in Europe. As always, for these episodes, I'm going to hand it off to Scott Diedenbach. He's going to run the show, and he's going to do that right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back for another edition of They Don't Do That in Europe with actually stuff to talk about this week. with me, as always, Mr. David Pallon. David, what's up?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm on the left or the right this time, Scotty D?
I can't tell. My screen's blocked.
Oh.
And also here, of course, Bill Shiken from Crosshairs Radio. Bill, where are you in the world? Because you're like, you've been everywhere. You're like Johnny Cash, man.
Briefly. I am briefly in Washington, D.C. until...
Hello?
Yes?
Did you not like that Johnny Cash comment? So you just
someone
cut out.
Yeah.
Am I not there anymore?
Now you're
here again.
Okay. I was fine on this end.
So where have you been?
I'm in Washington, D.C. At home for, well, I've been here just about a week, and then tomorrow I'm heading to Wisconsin.
Heading to Wisconsin. I will be there, and Bill will be there, and David will not.
No, David is heading out Saturday early afternoon to Viva Las Vegas.
Ah, yes. What's going on there?
Just going to...
I got,
Going to see Cirque du Soleil?
Cirque du Soleil. No, actually, Blue Man Group. We're at the Monte Carlo.
Oh, nice. That's right.
There you go.
Oh, you and, are so... Look at you. Team Cross Vegas, just staying on brand.
What a company man, I'm telling you.
There you go. Yeah. And cool. We're going to some soccer tournament or something. I don't know. I did get an invite to be at the Desert Breeze Soccer Complex.
Oh, I heard there's this great youth tournament going on there.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, guys, we got actual racing to talk about. How awesome is this?
That's something. I thought we did a fine job last time we got together with no racing.
We did. I'm sure that's probably the highest downloaded show ever, even more than Jeremy Powers, right?
Somewhere between Jeremy Powers
and Micah Rice.
Yeah, I'll have to check this. I'll have to check the stats. Everybody go listen to Micah. He's concerned about his downloads, so y'all need to go and get him up there.
But we're going to start out. We're going to talk a little bit about China, the racing that kind of kicked off the season. I mean, I know Australian CX Nats was really the first UCI race on the calendar, but this is the first non-national championship.
Hey, I have a question that we may not be able to answer because Cat Armor got mad at me when I said that Australia was the first UCI race because the first one on the schedule because there was the New Zealand national championship.
Okay.
Before that, is that just not a UCI race? How is that possible?
It's not on the calendar.
I know.
That's a good question.
I mean, can you have a national championship that's not UCI?
Evidently. If you're in New Zealand.
Are they like on the same?
No, they don't do that in Europe, but
are they on the same level as like single speed worlds?
Yeah, right. Unsanctioned national championship. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll look into that. We'll look into that and get back with you.
Anyway, yeah, we did actually talk about Australia last time.
Extensive report coming.
So China, C1, opened up at, I think I'm pronouncing this right, Yanging Station.
I'm sure you nailed it.
I nailed it.
Do you want me to go get one of my daughters?
Top notch.
Do I want what?
I'll go get one of my, oh, they're in school. If my daughters were here, they could tell you. They speak Chinese.
Oh, that's right, because they're doing the Chinese thing. Yeah. But, okay, top three, Rob Peters. Yeah. Jens Adams and Chris Young Award. I was corrected today. You know, I have some Australians staying with me.
Yes.
And it is not Jung Award like I've been saying. It's Young Award.
Okay.
So there. So
welcome
Young
to the Young Award.
Young Award getting third. So, I mean, I think the cool thing. I totally missed that.
It was welcome to the Young.
Oh. So, I mean, this was cool just that it like got the season rolling. It was kind of cool that there was UCI racing and we were all kind of paying attention. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but it was just kind of cool that it was happening. Yes, no. The field, the field was not the strongest in the world, let's be honest. But it's just cool that the season was getting kicked off. And so it kind of, the entire cyclocross world was paying attention to it.
Sure. And Rob Peters got points. You know, it was, made it worth the trip, I'm sure.
Absolutely. For the win.
We're spreading the love, really. I mean, anything that's getting cyclocross to places where it not normally is a good thing.
Agreed. For the women, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what year is this? Is this four? Five?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. That sounds like that could be right. Yeah. And apparently they get huge crowds, right? I mean, when you were over in Asia, they're kind of cyclocross crazy, right, Bill?
Well, they were in Japan. And I think
I know it was Japan, but...
Well, I think in China, you can like... just from when my kid traveled over there and she was in a, finger quote, you know, village and it was... 3 million people or something, and you know, in a couple
a village of 3 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to not have a huge crowd at anything in China.
I'm being corrected here. Fact checked, it was 1 million, but regardless.
Okay. That's still bigger than most villages.
Yes. So just making the point that I think crowds just appear everywhere. That's not to say that the sport isn't popular, but
True.
It could have been people just stuck in a traffic jam, get out of the car and came to watch.
Oh, golly. For the women, first place, very nice, Emily Kachurek. Second place, Celine Del Carmen. I can't pronounce it. Third place, Bianca Vandenhoek. Again, nice win for Emily Kachurek. First UCI win, first C1 win. And, again.
Doing it on her own bike. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
doing it on a squid bike. Oh, yep. I mean, yeah, just what a cool story to be like, you're on your own company's bike, you take it to China, and you get a UCI C1 win. Just awesome. And couldn't happen to a nicer person. Remember when we had her on, David?
We did have her on the show. That was right before they signed Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Right? And I think she actually broke the news of the Anthony Clark signing.
Whoa, y'all got a scoop.
With us.
Nice.
We got the scoop.
That's sick.
That is.
Sick, sick, sick. Carbon, carbon, sick, asterisk, asterisk, ampersand.
So then the racing went on in China. The next race was at Fengtai Station for the men. Again, first place was Marcel Wildeber. Chris Young Award got second, and Jens Adam got third. For the women, Alvarado got first. And that was the name that was second last earlier. Kaczorek then picked up second, and Bianca Vandenhoek got third. So kind of the same people at the top, rising to the top. And like I said, they weren't the deepest fields, but still fun to get the season rolling. So,
all that said, is there a – because I don't have the results here in front of me, Scott. I don't know if you have just the top three in each, but
– Yes, I do.
Are there a number of Chinese nationals riding, or is it simply a spectator sport there?
I think there was quite a few, and I think there was a lot of Australians over there too, because it's not that far, you know, not as far of a flight for them.
Yep.
I know our friend from – Australian Cyclocross Magazine, Sean Cooley, was there racing. So so there's a lot of guys like at that level that were there and from Australia. And I think there were a lot of actual Chinese riders there, too. So
it's great to see.
All right, guys. Anything else you want to say about China? All right. I guess that's a no. We're rolling on to Bill. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Why are you worried about me?
Well, once you cut out. Once you cut out once, you're like suspect for the rest
of
the show.
Well, I know. All those issues are fixed.
Okay.
That was last year. This is a whole new season.
Guys.
This is now part of the wide-angle cycling podcast team.
WAP. WAP. Think WAP.
There you go. Yeah. WAP. Wide-angle podium network, man.
Did you see the...
Never has there been a better endorsement.
Did you see the picture that Amanda Nauman, I think, tweeted at the from the hotel we were staying at, Phil?
Yeah.
That was awesome. We, like, walked down the stairs. There's that huge sign, wide angle gallery, I think it was. And, she's like, oh, my God. So, but speaking of that, probably the thing we're going to talk about the most on this show is we've had the first C1 in the U.S., Rochester, as kicking off the season again in the U.S., and there's a lot of excitement leading into the race. It was a new venue. Really cool. I liked the new park a lot. But just like last year, we just get blazing heat on Saturday to the point where, guys, we've talked about canceling races because of cold. This was dangerous heat, in my opinion. I mean, when a rider has to be taken to the hospital, and that number could have probably been 10 or 12 riders taken to the hospital if things had gone a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand? What are you guys' opinions on this? Ellie Anderson like just pulled the plug. Yeah. She was like, I'm done. She was like running top five and was like, I'm done. I'm going to overheat if I keep going, you know?
It's so hard just because, well, I guess maybe not since this is now 2 years running. First, you would think Rochester is far enough north that by this time of the year, they're going to have more moderate temperatures, but that's just not the case. And the East Coast has been just unbearable pretty much all summer and continues to be. I mean, it's 90 out there right now in DC.
Wow.
So I don't know. It's such a hard thing because, you know, everybody who may be listening who's a roadie, which is nobody, will tell you that cyclocross starts too early. But of course, we got all these cool things that are happening and there is enough people that want it to happen and it gets the support and it's successful. So this is kind of when cyclocross starts. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
And just, you know, to kind of paint the picture a little bit for people that weren't there, give it up to the race promoter. You know, they had chests of ice at the finish line because riders were basically coming across and just, like, dropping. you know, and here, and they're like bags of ice for their head, you know, for their shoulders, water, of course. They put a guy with a hose at one area where just past one of the pits where the course kind of widened a bit. There was enough room for like this. So there was a guy there's like spraying a hose on like half of the course. So the riders could choose to go through the water if they wanted to and get a little spray to help keep themselves cool. Or if they didn't want to, they could stay to the left. So they did a lot of things, you know,
I think that were good.
Yeah.
First, how many people were in staging with ice vests?
With ice vests?
Yeah. Anybody?
Do you mean like, is that, I mean, a lot of people had a sock or a nylon down their back. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably.
Cause I see that, you see that almost, in the, with the, these like World Cup mountain bike races, which are all in the summer.
Yeah.
So they'll be on the starting line in staging with these like full on jackets. I mean, they're vests that have like ice, you know, they're basically just, have these little tubes on them that's just filled with ice.
Right. Right.
Just to keep their core cool.
At one point, I saw Powers had like what looked like a black like stocking coming over his collar. So yeah. I think he probably had one too. I know almost all of our riders had one. But you know that's only lasts so long. And but you know they were doing everything as much as they could. But I just it was really dangerous. I mean, everyone's saying you know how you get so hot that you're getting chills. That you're getting like goosebumps.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was getting that. They're like ashen faces and lips that are just like colorless. And I mean, you could just see like people talking about they couldn't process like where they were. And you know, I mean, it was that dangerous.
That's
so,
awful. Yeah.
So how do you judge that? I mean, I get your point. I understand. And maybe there is an absolute temperature. What do you have to go with? Temperature, humidity.
I mean,
it's so hard to judge. Similar to the cold, but with the cold at the extremes, I don't know. It seems almost easier, and maybe that's just kind of a misunderstanding of most people that you know you spray people down and they're wet and they're okay in the heat, but they're really not.
Right, right. So, I mean, I don't want to harp on it too much. I think we should mention it because it's 2 years in a row now that it's been a serious issue. And I don't know.
My question to you, with you being on site there, things were very clear to people about feed zones and when you could take water and take water.
Yeah, you couldn't take any water. You could obviously have water on your bike, A and B bike, however you chose to do it. Almost everybody, I think, just started with water because there was no sense to swap a bike for it. You knew you were going to need it. Our guys, Chris Aitken and Tom, they both originally we were going to put water on their B bike, and then I pitted for the elite women's race for Courtney, and I came back and I was like, guys, just put it on the A bike. There's no question you're going to need it. Just start with it. And so we switched that over really quickly.
Anybody in the elite races doing two bottles?
I didn't see any two bottles. No.
And what was the
that's exactly what I was going to ask.
Long going debate.
It was down tube. I think that's the clear winner.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's just what people are used to having it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's slightly easier to grab.
Was there any shouldering necessary on course?
There was, it wasn't like where you had to shoulder, but some people chose to shoulder on certain points while other people would push, you know, were pushing. So it was kind of like you could get away with not shouldering. Some people were choosing to do it on a couple of the run-ups. So, there was some.
So to be clear with the rule changes and how it stands now, since we went through this whole controversy last year, is no feeds whatsoever. You cannot hand a water bottle in the pit, out of the pit. If you change a bike, don't change a bike. You can't hand it to them.
Correct,
right? That's the rule. But if you change bikes, those bikes can have water bottles magically appear on them, right?
They can have whatever they want on them if you change bikes, yeah.
Yeah, so if you go through a whole water bottle, give your A bike up, get on your B bike, when your A bike comes up, it can have a full water bottle.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
And then you just can't put it in their hand.
Right. And then you can refill the bottle on the A bike and change again if you want. You know?
Right. That's what I mean. So
yeah,
it's not like somebody is going to run out of water if they choose to have a bottle.
Correct. All they got to do is swap bikes. Yeah. Right. Right.
Anyone going with a bottle in the pocket?
Sure. Yeah. Some people were. Yep. Bottle in the jersey pocket.
Camelbacks?
Camelbacks?
I didn't see any Camelbacks. And one of the riders that did have a bottle in the pocket was Alex Morton for the Cannondale development team. This was a little bit earlier in the day.
Obviously, might I mention two top 10 finishes?
Hello.
For little Alex Morton.
But his frames are so small. I asked him about it, and he's like, my frames are so small that I can't get the bottle out easily. So he just sticks it in his pocket all the time.
Yeah.
But what a amazing joy to see that kid in the Cannondale green kit, man, rolling around on those Cannondales and just big smile on his face.
It's all about pedigree.
Yeah, and just went out and
crushed. It's where he came from. It's the programs he graduated out of. That's what's got him where he is now.
Exactly.
The time that he spent racing with, what was it there?
Cyclocross Network Racing.
No, Wolverines.
Actually, I think it's the time he spends getting motor paced by his mother on the Ruckus all winter long.
Oh, that's amazing.
What a champ she is, man.
Yep. They have a great course cut out in their yard.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Yep.
So, all right, let's go through the results for the men. C1. First place was, of course, Jeremy Powers on Saturday. Second place, Jamie Driscoll. Third place, Stephen Hyde. I'm going to do top five. Fourth place, a guy I'm really excited about is Tobin Ortenblad.
Mm-hmm.
And fifth place, Jeremy Martin. And I got it, guys. 10th place, Spencer Petroff.
That's great.
Hello. First elite race. First elite C1 race. Started his call up. You know, he was on random start, random call up because, he had 0 points, just aged up. Second to last person to line up.
Pedigree.
Wow.
Pedigree.
Top 10. He was riding through people like they were standing still, man.
Those lion hearts, man. Like you said, Bill, the pedigree that these guys come from.
it was unbelievable to watch that. So very, very cool. Anything else you guys noticed about the men's results that we want to talk about?
What day one, what was it with, did Hyde have, what happened with Hyde?
I don't know, because obviously being in the pits, you only get to see so much. But I'm not sure. You mean like, why did he not push Powers more?
I didn't know if anything happened. Yeah, or didn't Driscoll on day two? I guess we'll get there. Didn't he have like a mechanical or something on the second day?
I didn't hear that, but he could have. Sure.
I don't know. I may just be imagining that stuff.
Yeah, I probably would have seen him come in the pits, but he could have had something that just like fixed itself or something.
We'll get to day two as well. The one thing that my takeaway from that result, and also, we'll get there, the Sunday result, is that Powers, and I think he even mentioned it, he was practicing.
I had that in my notes to mention. So in the post-race interview, he said he was letting gaps form ahead of him so that he could chase him down.
In a C1.
Yeah, I do that a lot in my racing.
Yeah, in a C1. Just,
right.
To make sure he got some hard efforts in.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's scary.
yes, it is. And I want to, shout out to Tobin, man. Tobin, for people that don't know, Tobin aged out of the U23, wins last year, ages up, and basically didn't really get a ride that he was like really excited about. So decided to go out and do his own thing. He's wearing this, cool, like kind of neutral kit almost, riding Santa Cruz bikes. Just was awesome, man. Goes out and gets top five.
Yeah, it's great.
It was just really cool. He was traveling with Courtney, so for the pre-ride, he like came over and borrowed a couple tools really quick just to help get his bike set up and stuff. And yeah, just went out and had a great ride in that heat. I was like very impressed. I think it's very cool what he's doing.
He's it's not like he's one of these guys that doesn't want to ride or isn't going to be a good fit for a sponsor. So yeah, hopefully somebody will.
Yeah. So I really wish him the best of luck. And, and I'm actually carrying a huge SRAM wheel bag of his to Trek this weekend. So because he didn't want to fly with all of every single wheel he had. I'm like, yeah,
so
it's
now,
awesome.
So man. Now it's the Women and McTubbin CX project.
There you go.
Exactly. So, but yeah, just a cool guy, and I'm glad to see him doing so well. So,
hey, Scott, any insight on Danny Summerhill?
I don't know what happened to him.
Day one,
that's who I was thinking about. I think that, yeah, he was.
Yeah,
had
I don't
some
know
issues.
If it
last
was...
of the finishers, and then day two, he's in third place.
I think it's so hard to assess anything that happened on day one because of that heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I mean, it just basically puts. I don't think you can take much away from any of the results on the Saturday because that heat is just it throws a
you know and for those elite races that's prime time as far as it just beating down.
Oh yeah, it was. I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. It was hotter than last year. I mean, you've heard all the stuff about last year, how hot it was. It was worse than that.
Yeah.
So I think it's really hard to take, you know, make any big judgments on the results from that day. Maybe he had a bigger reaction to the heat than other people. Maybe he had some issue. I don't know. He has some kind of back or some kind of problems like that, that you often see him sitting up, you know, and like stretching his back. I don't know if you guys have seen that. So maybe that was aggravated a little bit. I don't know. So, all right, well, let's talk about the ladies at the C1 on Saturday. First place, Katie Antineau. Second place, Emma White. 1-2 for Cannondale. Third place, Amanda Miller.
Solid
what do you guys
podium.
Think?
Cannondale. And that 1-2 punch. Emma coming up there and right off the bat. That's pretty amazing.
And this course was really fast for people that didn't see it. I mean, there was a few really long straight sections where you know, the watts were just being let down. And I'm telling you, Katie Antineau was so fast. It was amazing.
What was the elevation of that course compared to the old course?
Good question. I don't know. You mean like the
just looking at it. I mean, was there a lot? Because that other one sort of was known for its climbing.
It was nothing like that. Nothing like the previous. You know, that one long climb on the old course.
Right,
there was nothing
Alpe
like that.
No. Or whatever they called it. Yeah.
Yeah, much shorter
section in the woods.
Yeah, shorter, punchier climbs. They had one cool. You know, we've talked about the tree logs here, but they had one cool tree log that was across the course that they actually cut into steps. So it was two steps, but originally, but it was cut out of a log. Like, it was kind of a cool.
Was it rideable?
Yeah, you could ride it. A lot of people rode it. But it was just kind of a cool idea of, you know, instead of just having a log there, they kind of carved these steps into it, just to kind of give it a little flair there. So, and Emma White in second. I mean, she was again just so fast, just great watch. And so was Amanda Miller. I mean, you know, seeing her at the front, those three were like kind of gapped the field for a while. And
I'm gonna
just
show my amazing ignorance right here. Does Amanda Miller does road too, right?
Yeah. Yes. She does some road.
I believe some road. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have like three people on that podium with road fitness, right?
True. Very true. Very true.
As does,
I think Spencer had a lot. We were talking about Spencer. I think he had a lot of road fitness coming into the season too. Not to take anything away.
I was just trying to look at that podium and see what, you know, it has in common as opposed to people who concentrate 100% on cross and maybe building up for this long season. I think some of those folks may have been coming into this race already flying.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I just want to mention, I want to throw it out there, one of our riders, I got to give props to Kennedy Adams. Kennedy is 17 years old. She's been in UCI C1s before, but never finished. She was out there. She was running top 20 for most of the race. A couple of girls passed her right at the end. But 17 years old, in an elite C1, and was, like, racing all the way till the end, you know? And I was just so happy to see that. It was just awesome, you know, to see a girl that young in an elite C1 and not just hanging
out.
So,
so last year when she won, when I was covering that Pittsburgh road race,
Showdown,
Steel City Showdown, she was 16.
Yeah. Exactly.
God.
Right.
I mean, so, look at her and, no,
that was,
you know.
Yeah, for people to know, that was a, yeah. So women's, just women's crit, you know, over Pittsburgh's bridges, but she was in the women's elite field and
yeah,
won that
yeah.
pretty easily.
So very excited to see what she's going to do, and just happy that she could get that under her belt. Now, I got one thing I got to talk about this race, because a lot of people, not a lot of people, but a couple people were asking me, did you guys notice the jersey that Ellen Noble was wearing?
No.
She was wearing her national champions jersey.
Oh, I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah, so people are like, wait a minute, you can't do that. No.
Oh, but she can't. Aren't they like combined or...
No, so what I understand from the some of the people in Rochester is if the elite national champion is not in the race, the U23 national champion can petition the UCI and ask permission to wear the U23 jersey, and if they receive a yes, then they are allowed to wear it.
I would like you to point me to where that is in the UCI regulations.
I have no idea. This is what was told to me by one of the Rochester race people that was like in the registration thing.
So if Katie Compton and Ellen Noble both weren't there, then Alexander Haig could have worn his.
I don't know if it goes lower than the U23. I just know that if
nobody under like 50 is going to understand that joke.
I'm 49, so maybe that's why I didn't get it.
Go ahead, explain.
Go ahead, Bill.
I don't even. Oh, it was when Reagan was shot,
right?
And it was the succession of command, and like Haig just as Secretary of State, just like, well, I'm in charge. You know, just sort of jumped in front of everybody and was like about to take over the country.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
I forgot that.
Is that too far out there?
It's kind of regional too. Those of us who've
regional to the even... United States of America.
Oh, come on, man. I'm over 50 and I wasn't so tied into DC politics. Bill Haig.
But I also want to mention too that they, you know how it
in front of him though. Isn't there the Speaker of the House?
Isn't there a Vice President?
The Vice President?
He was like the Chief of Staff. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember the facts. Just make the jokes. His quote was, as of now, I am in control here in the White House.
Everybody relax.
Yeah, he was like,
I'm in control of the White House. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not of the country, just the
no,
White
he
House.
He was Secretary of State at that time.
Yeah. Okay.
Ooh,
and then, so,
all right.
As this happened before, you know, they separate out the U23 result in Rochester, which is very cool that they do, and they do a separate podium. Spencer Petroff, of course, was on the top of that podium. Second was Curtis White. And third was Tom Chapman from Australia. How awesome was that?
Is he like down the hall from you right now?
He's in the other room. Yeah, I just saw them actually drive up my driveway. They borrowed my truck to go do something. And I was a little nervous when they left, but now I see it come back. So
they driving on the right side of the road?
I hope so. So, yeah, that was very awesome to have that happen.
Hey, do they go in the roundabouts in the opposite direction from down under? Is that a
sure thing? They do it when they're down there.
Oh, yes.
So, anyways, that it was very cool that he got that. So, okay. So, day two, Rochester. Men, first place, Jeremy Powers again. Second place, Stephen Hyde. Third place, Danny Summerhill. Fourth place was Timmerman. And fifth place was Tobin. Again, Ortenblad. So, pretty similar. 20 degrees cooler.
Ooh.
Yes. That's how freaking hot it was Saturday.
Wow.
20 degree temperature. When we went out in the morning to start heading over to the course, everybody was there, riders, and I'm like, you guys realize that yesterday at this time, you know, 7 a.m., it was already hotter than the high is going to be for Sunday. So, yeah, it was just way better. A lot of people, and you could see just in the attitude, everybody was just having, you know, Saturday, everyone's getting irritable, mm-hmm. you know. You just were. But Sunday was much more fun, much more conducive temperatures for racing. And Very cool. Very cool men's race with Powers. And this is where Powers said he was kind of letting the gaps form and then chasing them. There was one time when Powers came through pit two, and I think it was I forget who was up the course. And he comes through, and he's just like going full gas. And he's like grunting as he comes through the pit. He's like, or growling, I guess. He's like, because he's like putting in this effort. We're all like, whoa. Everybody stood back like, whoa. A few of the mechanics, you know, as you can imagine, in the pit, like growled back at him. So, yeah, definitely a much more fun atmosphere and cool race in there. So, anything about the men you guys were curious about or wondering?
It was sprint finish in that day, right?
Sprint finish came down to a three-man sprint finish with Powers getting it there. Was pretty exciting. He did kind of gap a little bit before they got there, so it was kind of clear who was going to win. But still, seeing three guys like going full gas coming down that gravel straightaway was pretty spectacular. So,
hopefully that's going to kind of be setting the tenor for racing this year in the U.S.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be one, maybe two guys off the front and the rest of the field.
It would be nice.
I think Steven Hyde's really coming into it with a strong, strong season ahead of him.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree.
What do you think? Right now it seems like Powers is definitely a step above. What do you think going into this next week? I mean, obviously, and that's sort of the difference, and he'll be the first to say it, you know, his A plus races are coming up. This is it.
Yeah.
This is basically his season for him. You know, he wants to do well.
Yeah.
He wants to do well at all the races, but this is it for him. This is his goal, is, you know, second week of the season.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, it's going to be very interesting with all the guys that are going to be there from around the world, all the European riders. I would think, looking at what he did this weekend, you would think, how can he not be competitive? I mean, he's definitely got the... I think he's probably, you know, like you said, Bill, was targeting these beginning races, which a lot of people don't. So maybe it throws him into the top three, potentially top five, even, you know, something like that. So
yeah.
It'd be really nice. It'd be really,
you know,
cool.
He is according to what was the term they used? I loved it. The headline: Cycling Tips. He's in the autumn of his career. And I'm like, well, you know, cyclocross is a fall sport.
Yeah, I figured that's what they mean, isn't it?
The autumn of his career.
That's the pinnacle of our sport, the autumn of your career. It
means when you're going the fastest, when you're grunting through the pits, preparing for those World Cups.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
I
think it's cool that we get a Trek as sort of a, you know, are people going to be holding their cards? Or are they going all, you know, it's like it's right before the World Cup,
yeah,
and all those guys,
but
get sort of a preview of each other.
Yeah, how much do you show? You know, do you just go and kind of ride around the course, or do you go attack it and try and do, you know, well? So I think it's going to be fun. I'm so looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. So for the women, C2, day two, Caroline Mani, Rebecca Ferringer, I got to tell you something about her in a second. Second, third place, Katie Antineau. Fourth place, Emma White again. Fifth place, Ellie Anderson. And Courtney McFadden got sixth. I'm just going to tack that. Yeah. But there was one point, again, same pit two. It was very flat. And Rebecca Ferringer comes through and is just, I mean, you could see the power that she has. She was pushing a gear. I don't know what it was specifically, but you could just tell it was a huge gear. And she is just like all into that gear, just going like crazy. And we just like, she came back through the pits. We're like, holy crap, what is she pushing? And it was just amazing. She's got awesome power. So that was pretty cool. And she was warming up in the stands, no tubes tent, which was right next to us at the setup. So really cool.
She's another one that's sort of in that same position as Tobin, although, you know, it's awesome that the Amy D Foundation chose to support her for a second year. And I really like the statement that they made saying, you know, our goal in this program is to get riders to the next level, and that nobody signed her meant that, you know, they weren't going to just leave her hanging and support her for another year. So that was really cool. But it's you know, she's another one. She's proving that she can be there. So hopefully she'll be able to find that support and let somebody else slot into that Amy D spot next year.
Yeah, I'd agree because, you know, I think that's a problem that we have in all of American cyclocross is that there's no career path. There's not a solid career path. There's stuff here and there to move into as you move out of U23, but it's not solid yet. And a lot of people are having to like go out and do their own thing because they don't have any other options. And if we're really going to get the top athletes in the country into cyclocross, there has to be a career path. So hopefully that will continue to develop. And I agree, that's very cool that the Amy D Foundation did that because, yeah, what good does it do to develop riders if there's no place for them to go?
Right.
So
I'm curious why she doesn't have her team affiliation, the Amy D Foundation or Amy D Rider or whatever.
I don't know what you just said.
What like on the result or
yeah?
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're looking at it. That's why I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, on the USAC results, she's not listed with the Amy D Foundation anymore.
What does it say?
It's blank. Just left
it's probably
blank.
Just oversight.
And there's
like,
no way.
Much like Stephen Hyde last year.
I was gonna say there's no way that could be an oversight by USAC because they never do that.
No.
Pretty boy
hey,
racing.
Bill, could you get a call into Micah?
Be happy to. I'm the person he wants to talk to.
I bet you are.
We're not going to talk about that pre-show chit chat.
Nah. Pre-show.
Who does the editing
pre-show
of this one?
Yeah. Yeah right. That's my question for you, Scott, and I guess it's you know another guest who was on here that I think we were all looking for you know big things from in the cyclocross season. Ellen Noble. I'm not going to say it's a disappointing result, but maybe we expected to see her up there higher.
I think on day two, she had some kind of shoe issue and wasn't getting clipped in real well on one of her pedals.
Okay.
And couldn't do it on either bike. So I think that was part of her problem, at least on day two. She was really struggling, kept looking down at it. The announcers kept mentioning it. So I think that was part of her problem on day one, or day two, I mean. Day one, I mean, she was up at the front. She was up at the front for a lot of it, you know, really pushing the pace and really involved in the lead of the race. So definitely had some speed, you know, that she was showing. I think it was just like I said, things are hard to assess on that Saturday. And then she had those issues on Sunday. So,
yeah,
I think the jury's still out on exactly what kind of season she's going to have, I think. So,
and then
she'll be one to watch at Trek though, I think.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, totally. And then the other question for you, I mean, you talked about, Courtney, but then the other, mentor person you're supporting, Amanda Nauman, also a friend of the show. Good weekend for her.
Yeah, overall, great weekend for her. I didn't write down her places that she finished. What was she? I think she was seventh on Sunday and
10th or something.
Like, yeah, 10th on Saturday. But yeah, just
ninth Saturday.
I tell you what.
Don't just stay quiet there with the results in front of you, David.
Okay, I said ninth on Saturday.
Don't help it up now.
just don't listen to me when I talk.
I'll say this when I hadn't seen Amanda. I mean, we've emailed and texted and stuff and all that stuff, and I hadn't actually physically seen her since last season. And as soon as I saw her, I went, "Wow, is she fit?"
Yeah,
I could see the difference from the last time I saw her, probably at Nationals. I think it was. You could tell that she was fitter than last year. So, yeah, look for more to come from Amanda for sure. I think for sure. Yeah. So,
cool.
And yeah. We all noticed that Dave Sheik got a little more aero. Did you notice that?
Dave Sheik.
Well, I heard that you did too.
I did. I did first. And I noticed that he then followed my lead.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Got rid of that facial hair. And Dave Sheik, actually, he had some good races too. I think he got second both days, maybe something like that in his Masters race. So, yeah, he was, he's a favorite for the announcers too. The announcers, I think, like just saying Sheik.
I think he's mispronouncing his name. I think it'd be Shike.
So, all right, guys. Well, overall, great weekend of in Rochester. I had fun. The team was great, and it was just awesome. So, anything else you want to talk about to wrap it up?
We're happy that you had fun, Scott.
That's I'm glad. I'm glad.
It's not about winning and losing as long as Scott has fun.
Well, we could, if you want, since we've had a weekend just to sort of finish out that. This little U.S. First race chunk, we have the Pro CX rankings for the first weekend that we can.
Okay, which are you want to go through them?
I mean, they're pretty. They're not going to be much. There's not going to be much of a surprise here. although the interesting one, I mean, I guess because Carolyn Money, what did she get on day one?
Where did she finish on day one?
Yeah,
David.
Oh, no, I got to switch pages because I was going to say she has 89 points, good enough for fourth place. But on day one, she – it's a man, sorry.
She must have been, like, out of the points.
She didn't race Cat 4, did she? No, I didn't think so. Here we go.
Anyway, she's fourth.
Yeah. She's fourth with
one race
points.
Is down fourth, so obviously not a
she
great –
She finished sixth.
Oh, really? So a win and six. And she, well, I mean, it's just not enough points out there for it really to break up. But Katie Antonos first, Emma White second, Rebecca is Farringer third, and then Carolyn Moniz fourth.
Amanda is seven?
Yes.
Amanda
Miller fifth.
Amanda Miller's fifth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I
Courtney was 10th.
And what about the men? Look down at number 24 for the men.
Christopher Aiken.
Chris Aiken.
Yeah.
How awesome. That was cool. That was cool to see that. He had a good weekend overall. Right? Because you remember, you know, those guys just got here Tuesday.
Right. Right.
So pretty good result. So
yeah,
that was cool.
So Powers first, Hyde second, Driscoll third, Mick Tubbin, Wharton Blood fourth, and then Jeremy Martin fifth.
Nice. Yeah. So we'll keep track of that a little bit as the season goes by, Bill.
Yes, we will.
Sounds good.
We'll try to figure out what exactly the Pro CX is and how it affects people.
What is it and how much money? Oh, wait. No.
Money?
No money.
Oh, Carolyn Money you're talking about. That's the only money in the standings is Carolyn.
She's somebody I need to talk to because she gives some great interviews. She's not like, oh, my friend was saying I should be winning. Why are you not winning? You stink. So I had to go out and win.
Oh, yeah, she is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to talk about there has already been a C2 in Belgium.
Yes, there has been.
Crazy. Crazy. How's it pronounced, Bill?
Gerritsbergen.
I like it. first place for the men was Wout van Aert. Second place, Michael van Thornout. Third place, Klaus van Terneau. Fourth place, Kevin Powels.
Yeah.
Fifth place, Corne van Kessel.
Most important thing to talk about right off the bat, and I think we saw this coming. You know, we saw this, the media accounts of this, the Instagram, but just in real life, the white bibs.
Oh, yes. Do we think that's going to be an issue? White is usually not the best cyclocross color, is it?
I don't know. I think that's the UCI rule I want. Just
no white bibs?
No white bibs for world championship kits.
Black is the only way to go, and they gotta be solid. None of this fishnet stuff. We don't want to see Sky riding in their fishnet stockings.
Yeah, agreed. But I think Wout had black shoes, right? I think.
And
the stuff I saw, I think he had black shoes with the all white kit.
It's possible. He had a black.
I think
helmet.
He should have worn. I think he should have worn white shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Well, it's because it's after Labor Day.
I guess the more important, if we're going to talk equipment, here was the thing, and I haven't watched all of this race. I just started watching some of it, but, you know, you had Van Aert out there in front. You had Lawrence Swick out there in front. So two younger guys, but, you know, Van Aert, definitely a traditionalist. And then you had Kevin Powels up there. Those three all riding disc brakes.
Amazing.
So...
Yeah. What do you think? That's
fewer and fewer choices out there now.
I think that's true. That is true. Although if you look at the Trek Race Shop Instagram feed, it may have even just been Sven's. They probably wouldn't put it up there. It probably was just Sven's. He's like, I love my new bike, and it's got this new boon, and it's still got canty brakes.
Canties.
Yeah.
let me tell you. I'll give you a little skinny on that. I just spoke with a friend of mine from Chicago, someone that you now know, Bill, because he was rocking that the Grateful Dead cyclocross.
Oh yeah, t-shirt. Right. The one that you accused him of taking a podium shot when I think it was just a picture. They were just hanging out.
You got to take the helmet off, man. I love you, Daniel. He's one of my closest friends. I love Daniel. You got to take the helmet off.
It depends on what's going on underneath the helmet. Like, if you're Sven, yes, there's no excuse because it's not like his hair is going to get messed up.
Right.
Yeah. All that said, Sven did talk about that because someone had talked about whether or not, and this is for those of you who don't know, Sven did a cross clinic in Chicago this past weekend, or Chicago, as people from there would say. And they did just like a high tea with Helen that I did in Massachusetts. They did this cross clinic with the two Svens, and someone had asked him about the Trek bikes, and he said, it's all going to be disc brakes. They do not make any canty brakes bikes anymore, except this one. So well, there you go. When you are Sven, you can get one.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it's going to be all disc.
We need to ask them why there's still a quick release on the rear wheel, though. That's my question. Until they fix that. Come on,
there
guys.
You go.
I think the new Treks come out in January, though, don't they? They kind of do it a little bit weird, because remember when the other ones, when the Boons first came out and Katie and Sven were, that was like in January.
Yeah.
When those came out.
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm guessing when January rolls around, Trek's going to have a rear through axle on the Boon. I would.
You don't think that Sven can get
Sven can get whatever he wants, I'm sure.
More importantly, Walt was wearing black shoes.
He was what?
Wearing black shoes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see? That's good.
It's after Labor Day, man. You can't wear white shoes.
I had to finish off that conversation.
I had to complete that. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Moving on. Last of the results we got here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. Oh, were we going to talk? The Sonic Kant also won.
Yeah. For the women. Yeah. First place was Sonic Kant. Second place, Jolene Verschuren. Third place, Laura Verdanschut. Fourth place, Joyce Vanderbecken. Fifth place, Geetha Michaels, I think it is. So, Sonic Kant, kind of a sprint with out-sprinted Jolene Verschuren there, is what I hear. And she's starting it off, man.
Yeah. Going back to, I'm sorry, jumping all over the place. I did want to mention Ellie Easerbeat, you know, on his new team on Marlux, finishing 11th. Right in front of Quentin Hermans.
Oh,
so
good.
So those guys, you know, used to be teammates. Now it'll be interesting to see if they got this little, you know,
rivalry.
Young guns rivalry going.
Yeah, cool. So, all right. Well, that wraps up results. Is there any other cyclocross topic we want to talk about? Well, let's talk about Trek a little bit. Trek coming up it's almost like a World Cup level B. Isn't it? I mean, with the level of talent that's going to be there.
Yeah,
like
I think
just shy of a World Cup.
Well, Wout's going to be there. Yep. The whole Telenet team's going to be there.
Yep.
I mean, you have 25 Euro pros that are coming for that Trek race. I mean, that's nuts. That's going to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's, you know, if you can't get to one of the World Cups, that's the next best thing for sure in the U.S. right now. So
I'm assuming with not, but so far from places like Twin Cities in Chicago and stuff like that, you know, it's under a day's drive. So we should get pretty good crowds out there.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they're having, I think it's the first time that they've had it. It's the first time that I think they've had it since I've been going, is a reception in the entryway there of the Trek World Headquarters. So you can actually go in the building and hang out and see. Obviously, I don't think they're going to let you wander around, but you can go into the main entry.
I'm going to go wander around.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'll cover. Of course, Bill can.
I'll create a distraction, Bill, and you can.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're cool. You know, you're a
you're practically an employee.
Yeah.
I think I just wear
my high level clearance there, don't you?
Wear my t-shirt, my shorts, and they'll just let me breeze right in.
Make sure the white shorts.
Show my credentials from the World Cup race.
Yeah.
This gets you in the building too, right?
They'll just know who you are.
Yeah.
Just say that, actually. Just get to the front door and say, "Do you know who I am?"
Oh,
don't
yeah.
You know that's... Don't you know me? That's how people get in. You know, when you need media credentials, if you come, here's the secret. If you're coming across Vegas and you didn't apply ahead of time for your media credentials, just come in and say, "Do you know who I am?"
David loves it.
I'll be intimidated by you, and I will let you in.
Instead of a business card, Bill just carries around a copy of Skills Drills, man. He flashes it. Don't you know who I am? Look at this.
You know it's who I know.
It's all true.
All right, guys. So,
I'm all for the CXC Cup. I'm all for that event coming up in Iowa, the too early to be named Jingle Cross as a World Cup event. But do you think that people are going to be going full bore at CXC, or do you think anyone's going to be holding back to be ready for a midweek race on Wednesday?
I think they'll be holding back a little bit, for
sure. Can I ask a question? Does David just ignore us, like, some of the time?
What do you mean?
Well, I tell you, this is when I get my nap time in.
Didn't we just have this conversation, like, 20 minutes ago?
Before we started recording.
No.
You've been recording this the whole time?
Come back and check the tape.
I think they'll be holding back, for sure.
And Scott's just too nice. It's his damn Midwest nice that he was just going to let it go.
Oh, but the point being that you guys are saying what great people are going to be here. Look at all the big guns. Trying to sell this like it's going to be the top-notch B race of the World Cup Series, like the redheaded stepson. That all said, I'm not so sure that it's going to be all that exciting.
Oh, I disagree. I think it's going to be really exciting whether or not guys are, like, killing it, you know.
So you think it's going to be like Sven when he takes the World Cup off because he's got the B post race the next day? I mean, that would happen. He sort of fades. You know, some of those guys would be like, all right, and they're just, you know, they're not in that standing, so then they want to just crush the next day.
I think racers like this, they might say that all good and well, but once you put them on the course and there's somebody to beat,
I don't know.
Hey, pop quiz.
Yes.
What's the B post called right now?
I don't know. What is it?
I'm just going with DVV. The DVV series. That's like the insurance company. That's the initials.
Oh.
Like it's DVV.
That's the new name?
Yeah. Yeah,
the DVV.
It's like I can't do it because it already translated into English and it just says DVV insurance.
Well, anything is easier to remember than B post. I always I could never remember that. All right. Well, guys, I think we should wrap this up.
What?
We're going to have plenty.
I've only gotten like 6 emails on an account that I don't know where it's coming from on my computer. And I know people are going to complain about it, but
about
the little dings and stuff in the background.
Oh, and my phone.
Turn your text off. Yeah.
are you serious? People are that like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Come on. All right. Well, let's wrap it up, guys. We're going to have lots to talk about. We had lots this week, and it's just going to get better from here. But between Trek, we probably won't record again, I would imagine, until after Jingle. And we're going to have Trek, obviously, Cross
Vegas.
Unless
you and I just do it on the David and I can do it in Vegas.
We're going to do it in Vegas.
You and I can do it.
We'll do a little partial post-Trek. None of this is ever going to happen, people. We're going to talk about it right now. It'll never happen.
You
yeah,
and
so,
I, yeah. You get so busy. You and I could record at Trek, then you and David at Vegas, and then you and I again at Jingle.
We will record. David and I will record while I am picking up my credentials. I will wait until a line forms, and then we can just.
I want you to edit it all together so it sounds like we're all together.
And then I'm going to go up to Brooke and say, "Hey, David said now would be a great time to talk to you for a couple minutes and get a comment."
There you go. Yeah.
Anybody that's been there and tried to talk to Brooke knows that that is not true.
All you have to say, here's the other secret there. All you have to say is, I went to high school with Brooke. You'll get everything.
Brooke would want me to get in.
Yeah.
That's right. Brooke says I should, and I went to high school with him. He wants me to be there. You'll be announced in the awards. Scott, that's how Scott Herman, no one even knew who he was until he showed up at the media tent one day saying, Brooke would want me to do the awards.
Well, you know what I'm looking forward to is how much better he's going to be at Cross Vegas this year after your mentoring at the Alma GP.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
There is going to be some concern about no boat there. Did
you go down the slide?
I wanted so badly to go down the slide. There was so much air time between that bottom of that slide and the ground.
Yeah, I noticed that. That would have been like a 15-foot drop, maybe.
For those that don't know, Scott Herman and David announced the Alma GP from a beached pontoon boat.
Double-decker
pontoon boat.
Let me just mention that Avalon Luxury Pontoons.
Was this like a pontoon boat? Wait, this was like a showpiece? Like they put it out there?
Yeah, they were a race sponsor.
Oh, that is the best thing ever.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
I didn't realize that part.
From Alma, this is the Avalon Luxury Pontoon Boat Company from Alma, Michigan.
Let's just throw it out there, David. It's the Snap Fitness Alma GP.
It is.
We want to get the title sponsor.
And thank you for Snap Fitness for stepping up. And thank you to Avalon for that. And, well, we're going to go all sponsor happy.
How exciting.
Bike Law Michigan, who paid to have the announcers there.
Stop. JB is fainting already. You need to stop now. He's not going to be able to recover from this.
All that said, this pontoon boat, I'm expecting a little fishing platform. We know what a pontoon boat is.
Right.
A little party platform. Someone told me $94,000 for the pontoon boat.
It had a little kitchenette. Was the bar part of it? Was the bar stocked?
What's that?
Was the bar stocked?
No, but it did have a bar.
Okay.
Man, nice.
He emptied it. It had a second level. It had the slide.
A slide that came off the second level out the back.
Out the back.
Man, that's
awesome. Look it up on the what was it? Go ahead, Scott, with that reference. Facebook.
I can't
Snap
remember.
Fitness Facebook. Alma GP of cyclocross or something like that.
Yeah.
Bike Law. Yeah. Next year, you got to put it in the middle of a flyover.
Yeah. And then someone was doing single malt hand-ups. Actually, they were bourbon hand-ups right there in front of the announcer's stand.
And with the amount of rain you guys got that day, you almost needed that pontoon boat.
It came really close to floating at one point.
How cool would that have been?
I would like to say for people who aren't going out to Trek, who are on the East Coast, you should go to Nittany. Another UCI C2 race taking place over the weekend. Definitely one worth checking out.
Get out and do it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Pleasure talking to you. We will do this again very soon. We're going to have so much to talk about next time we get together, but it will all be good, I'm sure. Yes. David, where can people get in touch with you?
At Mr. David Palin is where you find me on the interwebs, whether it be, I think, Facebook, maybe, certainly the Twitter and that Instagram. In person, you can come see me at Fraser Bicycle of Ann Arbor. We can talk bikes. We can talk cyclocross. We can get you all kitted up and ready to go.
Cool. And Bill.
Yes.
Where can people get Bill? Did I really need to say that?
Yes, I wanted to hear you say it again. I am at CX Hairs on Instagram and on Twitter. And tomorrow morning, I'll be leaving for Wisconsin. And I have this cool project plan to really cover this thing 24/7 for the next week. Awesome. So follow along at cxhairs.com. Really wanted to thank first and foremost Orange Seal for making that possible, and also SDG Components, Verge Sport, Feedback Sports. I'm gonna forget somebody. Squid Bikes, and yep. I feel like I've left somebody out, so I'm sorry.
SDG Components, the saddle of choice for Women's CX Project, by the way.
Yeah.
And of Mr. David Palin, by the way.
And Mr. David Palin, by the way.
So go check them out. Go check them out.
All right. That sounds good. And people, you can get in touch with me.
Easton Cycling.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. How could you forget? At CyclocrossNet on Twitter, Cyclocross_network on Instagram, either those or CyclocrossNetwork@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email. Guys, it's been a pleasure as always. Can't wait to do this again soon.
See you later.
Sounds great. See you.